I'm currently at the south. I'm in the city of Jalalabad right now.
Oh, okay. So where's that exactly?
It's also in southern Kyrgyzstan. It's a little bit north of Osh. It's also one of the towns that were severely damaged during the violence, during the clashes.
Yes. Can you explain what happened? When and how the violence started, and what the state is, what's happening now?
I'll try to start with how it started. Basically, we believe that it started as relatively spontaneous clashes between the Uzbeks and the Kyrgyz in the city of Osh on June 10th. But soon afterwards, the levels of violence became unprecedented. We were witnessing, especially in Uzbek neighborhoods, the entire streets that were completely burnt down. The number of people that were killed and wounded is still unclear. The officially published numbers are slightly less than 200 people, but now even Kyrgyz officials are saying that, in fact, the numbers may be over 1,000, if not 2,000 people. And the scale of looting and burning of houses and other abuses was really very large. The question that we are primarily concerned about is to what extent, what role did the government forces, the law enforcement, played in this violence, in this conflict. We're trying to understand, I think we're getting closer to the conclusion that they definitely did not do enough to protect the citizens, both Kyrgyz and Uzbeks, but specifically the Uzbek neighborhoods. But there are also allegations by the Uzbek residents that they were actively supporting and abetting the Kyrgyz attackers.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about the role of the government, but I thought that the new interim president, the lady president, that she called for help immediately.
Yes. Right now, the situation is more or less under control, but I think everybody understands, at least you know, from our perspective, that at this point, the only thing that could bring the situation back to normal would be international force. The interim president indeed called for support, but then unfortunately, she backed away from her call for help. And right now, I think the government is saying that they have the situation under control and that they do not need any international assistance. We definitely don't think this is the case. The situation remains extremely tense. Uzbek residents are still essentially barricaded inside their neighborhoods, and although the large-scale violence is no longer here, we're still documenting cases of violent attacks as Uzbek residents try to wander out of their neighborhoods. So it is really hard to say that the situation is under control and some external force is needed to bring it back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is that possible? Doesn't Kyrgyzstan have its own army that should be able to, constrain rioters?
Kyrgyzstan does have army and police. The problem is that Uzbek residents firmly believe that the security forces, army and police, actively participated in the violence against them, that they actively supported the Kyrgyz crowd that was burning and looting their houses. So at this point, even if the law enforcement forces are doing their absolute best, the Uzbeks still do not trust them, and they will be the last people they would trust with their own security. It is really the anger and mistrust between the two communities is enormous, and that's why some neutral force is necessary to bring the situation back to normal.
Yeah, what caused this mistrust? Is there a historical background of discrimination or whatever?
There are many reasons, both political and economically, aside from, you know, definitely existing ethnic tensions here in the south. And the conflict dates back, you know, years, and, you know, if you listen to some people, they would say centuries back. But I think immediately, and I was just interviewing some Uzbeks, and we were discussing exactly that, they believe that they were not given sufficient representation in the local in the local authorities and the law enforcement, and that there was significant level of discrimination, that no matter what happened, even, you know, a small traffic violation, the Uzbeks were always found guilty, and that they were not allowed to exercise their rights as freely as the Kyrgyz residents when it came to language, to education in the Uzbek language, and so on and so forth. The Kyrgyz, at the same time, blamed the Uzbeks for usurping the economic power in the region. In terms of, you know, when you speak to the Kyrgyz, they would immediately tell you that the Uzbeks own every single restaurant and cafe, and they have their own television, and I think they do believe that, you know, the economic power that the Uzbeks managed to maintain in the region is not, I mean, is not fair to the Kyrgyz residents, and so on. So, I mean, there are really a number of valid existing reasons for this mistrust. At the same time, we all know that, you know, these communities have been living in relative peace, at least for the last 20 years, since the last clash. And, you know, of course, there are lots of conspiracy theories in terms of who and what was behind those riots.
Yes, because we heard that the, well, former President Bakiyev might have been involved, and I heard that there was the U.S. embassy or something was going to be blocked until the U.K. released the son, or would hand over the son of Bakiyev. Is that...
Yes, are these stories? I have to say that, I have to say it's definitely not part of our investigation. We are really trying to focus on the human rights violations that have been committed during this violence and the role of the security forces. The analysis of what caused this is really not part of what we are primarily concerned about. We are trying to understand to what extent the violence was organized, and I think by now we can say that it was relatively systematic and probably well planned. However, we are not trying to point fingers at any political figures, just because I think this information is extremely difficult to obtain, and we would stay away from those speculations.
Okay, back to the situation. We heard somewhere, I think it was even on the local news here, that there were 500,000 refugees, but I also read that there's only 5 million people living in the country. That would mean 10% of the population is on the run. Is that right?
There was a very significant number of refugees. Again, the numbers are extremely difficult to verify, but we definitely know that at least several, I think the latest figures were about 75 to 100,000 people who crossed the border into Uzbekistan. And we also know that since the border was closed a couple of days ago, many people were stuck here in the border areas of Kyrgyzstan. It seems like many people are still there. If you are in the city of Osh or in some of the nearby villages or even here, you would see that there are very few people left in the town. I mean, it really looks deserted. So it does sound like a significant part, at least of this region, is on the run.
Yeah.
But it does seem that people started returning to their homes, at least in the area where we are right now. People are trying to return to their homes. The problem is that many of them have no homes to return to because their properties were burned to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Are you aware of any counterattacks, I would say? I mean, like Uzbeks grouping themselves and attacking the attackers?
Well, it definitely happened. I don't think it's happening right now, but it definitely did happen in the first days. I did document several cases where Kyrgyz youth were killed in clashes with the Uzbeks, and I saw several properties like shops and cafes belonging to the Kyrgyz residents that were burned. I know of at least, you know, a small quarter where the Kyrgyz residents had to flee, their houses were set on fire. I mean, they did not burn to the ground, but there was definitely looting and fires going on there. So that did happen as well, although so far I think the scale of these attacks is incomparable.
Yeah. Now, when I look on the map, the border area is on the west. Are the troubles limited to the western part of the country, or is it throughout the country?
So I think so far the situation in the country is relatively calm. I think we're primarily talking about the south and southern part, and here the situation here remains quite tense. So far the violence has not spread to the other parts of the country.
Now back to your call for a response from the United Nations. What is the response to your call so far?
So far there has not been a definite response. It does seem like the Security Council is reluctant to deploy the UN mandated force, and I do think it's a big mistake. I do think that that's a situation where UN mandated force can really make a big difference, and it probably wouldn't cost the international community much. I think everybody here, both Uzbek and Kyrgyz, would welcome a neutral force. I think that's very unusual, you know, compared to some other conflicts where both sides are willing to see a neutral force, and I think that's a situation where they can play a very positive role in terms of stabilizing the situation. So we do hope that they would hear our call and move ahead on the mandate.
Well, we know that the UN tends to be slow, and on the other hand, the Russia's nearby, and the Americans have a basis there, I think, a military base. So are they taking any action? How are they getting involved?
There were some reports that the Americans are considering some action, but they definitely want it to be a multinational exercise rather than an exclusively American one. And the Russians said that they would provide some military assistance, but not necessarily send forces. From our perspective, the key is to make this force legitimate, to make this intervention legitimate. The UN mandate would be key. And then, you know, it doesn't really matter where these forces come from, but as long as they have a legitimate mandate, we would feel comfortable about it.
Okay. Good. Well, you will continue to work there for the time being. Is there no safety risk at the moment for you?
The situation is tense, but I think we're somewhat used to work in these kind of situations. Mm-hmm. We're taking utmost care about ourselves and people that we work with. So I think we should be fine.
Okay, very well.